All right. Here's a lecture on clearing. Data clear procedure continued. Now, we've given you one on special cases, right? And now we're going to take up cases that are not quite so special. I call to your attention that amongst us, we have very few special cases in Scientology. In the first place, people that come into Scientology are usually quite willing to be audited, quite willing to audit. They have things wrong with them, and they get things wrong with them. But they're not the worst cases. Now, you may contest this. And you, of course, are entitled to your opinion. But reach out your long right paw at random in the society and audit whatever you chance to get back, and you will know what I am talking about. Therefore, you should take very much to heart, the special case and how to handle it. Because this is the only one that breaks that heart. You follow me? The only one that gives you real losers. Now, there isn't a person in Scientology, in spite of the way some of them cry and sob sometimes, who haven't had a gain, a reality, or a benefit from Scientology. Some of them have had less than others. I can only name about a dozen cases that we have kept around as pets. Only about a dozen. And everybody was so nice to them, they couldn't leave. That's mostly why those stayed around. But you realize this leaves thousands and thousands and thousands of other people, all of whom are quite auditable. Now you can get so stuck on and so hung up with and so upset about special cases that you completely forget to audit easily and simply the cases that audit easily and simply. And if all of us ever make a mistake, it is that mistake. We don't audit the easy case with easy processes to take them right on up the line. You see, we run into a special case here, there, on the perimeters of Scientology, and we audit them in some strenuous fashion, and then we have to get more and more strenuous. And you shouldn't feel bad about it, because I stuck on this one until I had it pretty well whipped for more than 12 years before I was willing to let go of that one. Just keep looking for the rougher case. Well, one of the reasons I held on to it for so long as a subject of research, it wasn't a total subject of research, because your research materials all the way across the line demonstrate, like a checkerboard, processes which are even above you now. You know, Route 1, that sort of thing. That's over people's heads, way over people's heads. Back of their heads, too. Boy, you're certainly slow today. That's all I'm gonna say. But we were looking all the way along this line for something that would crack these special cases in order to get them out of the road. Mostly because they kept breaking our hearts, you know. We work like mad, and then they say, well, you know, I guess it's all right, you know. And they apparently are getting changes, and then they come up and say up smartly, you know, well, I guess you can do something with other people, but... And you just get in there and you sweat over this case and you run these processes and you work on the thing and so forth. And the fellow says, well, I guess I'll go back to psychiatry. Well, that sort of thing mustn't happen to us. We have to have a very broad view of success before we can call ourselves anything at all. It was auditor skill combined with auditor know-how that cracked it. Never lose sight of that. It was the actual ability of the auditor in training, his own case level, his own ability to handle his drills and so forth, plus the know-how and processes and so forth that cracked up special cases. And you can get so confoundedly fixated on it because they are so rough that you completely forget, and this you have forgotten for years and years and years and years, the easy case, the simple case, the average case amongst Scientologists, the case that just takes off from where you find it and goes right on up. I was audited by somebody one day who said to me, "I'm not used to a case like yours. You keep getting changes, and I can't find any flat spots. So when can I leave the process?" Well, paraphrase of what was said, but that was it, you see. Well, this immediately betokened past auditing history on the part of this person of having had lots of rough cases with a lot of backflash and so forth to them, you know. And this particular auditor would run this and run that or run something else, and changes would occur rapidly and continually, you see. Now, that's the last thing in the world you should protest against, is a case changing. That's what you want to have happen. If you're auditing for status quo, why, that's another thing entirely. I could show you how to audit for status quo. One of the things you do is to search into the person's childhood to find if they have had any sexual misadventures. And you look very heavily into this period of life and find where they had a sexual shock from a cat, you see. And then you tell them very unctuously, vividly and copiously breaking Articles 1 and 2 of the Auditor's Code, all about how this is what is wrong with them and so forth. And you can finally get a person with that so that they don't change at all, you see. It's very gratifying, very gratifying. Total goal is evidently no effect on anybody, so therefore no responsibility for having done anything. Isn't that the way it adds up? All right, but you want good, easy, smooth changes in cases without very much drama, but with a good, solid, uphill climb all the time towards some definite goal, such as Theta Clear, and you have today a whole bunch of processes, and these are what I'm taking up with you right now. This material was first released in HCO Bulletin of May the 21st, 1955, which was for this ACC and HGC allowed processes. You know, there are really several types of processes. Some are good, some are faster than others. There's duplicative processes, there's thinking processes, there's objective havingness processes, that sort of thing. There are several classes of these things. There's no sense in going over it. This is HPA, old-style HPA material. But amongst these, that process which produces the most effect on a case in its early stages is a recall process. That produces the greatest single gain. I noted this particularly, I think, toward the end of 1950. I was working a great deal in those days on recall, and a codification which you have today as the last processes in the book Self-Analysis, ARC straight wire, that particular combination, was always something that a person had to work with. He always had this to work with. And it was quite amazing. Somebody recently took one of those commands in its bracket basis, which was communication, Recall a time you communicated with somebody, and recall a time somebody communicated with you. That type of command. I don't know if those are the exact words, but it was the same one. And wrote me a very strenuous report. I'm always glad to have reports, but a very strenuous report pointing out this tremendous process which gave us tremendous gains on very low-scale cases. It was quite wonderful to get this, and this happened early in 1959. Isn't that interesting? In other words, this, unlike medicine, this particular process didn't deteriorate with the years. It's still effective. It'll still continue to be effective. But he had seen this thing crack up a case and was calling it vividly back to attention and demanding to know why we weren't using it. Of course, this person did not know about and was not using overt withhold straight wire, any of the straight wire processes of more recent vintage. Now, all of those processes stem immediately, directly, and at once from this old ARC straight wire. That's the granddaddy as a codified process. Now, there's an earlier straight wire process than that in which we tried to isolate and get the person to remember with vividness the other person who had the illness he was suffering from, or upset. You see, the illness or upset. This fellow is very lethargic. He's just very lethargic, you know. He just can't set one foot ahead of the other. Well, the very earliest, which is actually a bridge process with psychoanalysis, and which proved far more fruitful than psychoanalysis, but nevertheless was to some degree suggested by psychoanalysis, was to recall the person who had that wrong with him. And you just sorted it out with two-way calm until you got the person to clearly remember a lethargic person. And when he remembered a lethargic person with some vividness, the percentages were very high in favor of a sudden wipeout of the lethargy from which he suffered. I remember quite well one particular instance of this working. My own mother, she was suffering from a facial blemish. And I knew very well where the facial blemish came from. Her father had suffered from it. And so I asked her who had had a similar blemish. And she said, well, she didn't know and so forth. And then suddenly remembered her father had had it and didn't quite surrender at that moment. And I said, well, just when did you notice this? And she thought it over and got it into some vague span of years. And I said, well, where were you standing? Where were you standing when you noticed that? She said, right there in the hall. And right before the rest of the family's eyes, you know, this thing disappeared. Gone. Now, that's black magic, practically. If you could isolate the exact valence, you can knock one of those things out that rapidly. But now you tell me why it isn't a repetitive process. Because it doesn't put the PC at cause. It demonstrates to the PC that the PC was at effect at that moment, you know. And it's only good for one shot. You either can do it, or you can't do it. Now, on a fairly decent case, you can shoot out these things very carefully, and they won't come back, providing you don't get them back down the track or get them thinking about it afterwards. But if you stir the case up again, this little gentle feather duster moves out just as fast as it moved in. You cure a person's headache, now run them back down the track and have them recall the person vividly, and the headache comes back. That's a hit-and-run sort of an ARC process, all right? Now, that was the genus. But it wasn't a repetitive process, so we can hardly call it the complete picture. The first repetitive process along the lines which led into overt withhold straight wire was, of course, ARC straight wire. Very, very effective. Any part of that is effective. But, of course, knowing now the formula for operating Thetan, what's easier? See, what's easier? Well, you know the only side of it you have to run. There's the cause side of it. So instead of saying, recall a time when you communicated with somebody, recall a time when somebody communicated with you, we could simply narrow it down and say, recall a time you communicated with somebody. Or we could narrow it down further than that, which would be, recall a time you communicated. And this you'd find to be a highly effective process, which cuts right in fairly low-level cases, as you look at low-level cases. But I don't look at a low-level case as going as low as a special case. Now, I'm just talking about somebody who wanders into Scientology, curiosity, something of the sort, interest, real determinism, or great sincerity, whatever it is. An excellent process to start any such case, and not a rough case, excellent process to start any such case is one of these simple processes, like recall a time you communicated. That's quite good. It doesn't knock their silly heads off, you know. It does bring them up the line with great gentleness, and so on. But an improvement on this, an enormous improvement on this, is, of course, this particular thing for use on persons in general. Overt withhold straight wire. Now, of course, that's such an improvement on, and is so much faster than, simply recall a time you communicated, that there's hardly any comparison. Because you'll find that in early stages, you do not dare generalize an auditing question. In the early stages of the general case, do not use highly generalized processes. Something for you to remember. You see, it's hard for them to use and handle a particularized thing. We've got to recall a time we communicated with just Joe. See? Not Bill or Pete. Or Agnes or Mabel. Just Joe. We recall a time we communicated with Joe. And they've got to say, Joe, Joe, you see. And now we're running right up against the terminal, aren't we? And in this wise, we do not reduce their havingness at all. And we do get them oriented in time. And we do tend to pull them out of what they're stuck in. And we do get them then more alert, faster. Now, it's not really enough to say, communicated with Joe, because this person will dodge around for a long time on the basic thing that ails the human race, which is, I never did anything to anybody. I'm an innocent bystander, I am. You see me standing here? Well, I never did anything to anybody, and particularly I wouldn't confide it to an auditor. Now, it's a little bit too broad for you to say, PC, what dirty, rotten, stinking trick did you ever pull on Joe? You see, that's slightly invalidating. There's a much smoother question than that. Something on the order, the most generalized question of this was not recall, the earliest question asked in experiment was, what have you done to Joe? The funny part of it is, that to thee and me, after we've been at this for a while and our minds are flexible on the subject, we can see clearly that withholding something from Joe is doing something to Joe. But the little old PC walking into the early stages of this, he says, withholding something from him, that makes me saintly. And withholding anything, that's not an overt act. You can explain them. You say there are sins of omission and commission. There's the time when you wouldn't go for the doctor. That's a crime. That's a crime, that one. When you wouldn't go for a doctor. But the person says, well, I don't know. I didn't go for the doctor, so the fact that he died didn't have anything on my conscience, you see. But it's an overt act. You have to have a much broader, better basis of responsibility, you see, than anybody has to actually consider sins of omission an overt act. As a result, anything as low on the tone scale as a police force deals totally with sins of commission. Totally. What happened? What did you actually do? And who witnessed it so that we can prove it? And then if that's the case, why then we'll pay attention to it. We won't pay attention to anything less than that. Actually, it was just as deadly, you see, to omit care of. The bus that crashed into the lamppost was probably an omission on somebody's part before it was a commission. See? Somebody didn't inspect its brakes. Somebody didn't do their job. Somebody withheld attention from the thing. Or nobody paid enough attention to this driver, you know, withheld responsibility on the condition of the driver, whether it was his wife or the dispatcher or the boss. You see, we don't care who it was. And all of a sudden we get wham, and you'll find that the tone scale of crime has to do with an omission followed by a commission followed by an omission followed by a commission. It goes right on down the scale. Overt acts, which are not crimes, but overt acts, then, are right on down the line, one after the other. Omission, commission, omission, commission. Well, a person physically omits things by withholding them, according to the human race at this stage, and they will actively withhold. Then they do something, and then they withhold. As a matter of fact, you can see this in this very short cycle of action. Fellow hits a dog, and then he says, poor little puppy, and tries to bandage up the cut he gave it. You see? Bing, bang. Oh, why'd he hit the dog in the first place? Well, let us say he is not totally balanced on the fifth dynamic. Well, if he hit the dog, you say, well, he at least did a humanitarian thing. He took care of the dog afterwards. No, I say he just completed the dramatization. 1-2. You'll find most actions to this wise go 1-2 until they get way down tone scale when 1 equals 2. You withhold 10 cents from Johnny by giving him 10 cents. You get the idea? Well, that's the way it is. And you'll see this around in the nuttier areas of society, the fruitier ones. You'll see somebody punishing somebody by giving him everything he wants. Or explaining the whole thing this way. Well, we'll fix him. We'll fix him. We'll give him just what he asked for. Really give somebody just what he asked for, you see, in order to withhold livingness from the person or something. Pretty weird. But what you're looking at is a collapsed omission commission. Right? To commit something, you omit something. Now, that looks pretty weird, to give things to people so as to deny them the same thing. That's the way you deny them things, you give them the things that you're denying them, you see. That looks pretty weird, but it doesn't look weird the other way, too. That's very common because it's just a little higher scale, they're not totally identified. Is to punish somebody by withholding things from somebody. Now, that looks rather common, doesn't it? Well, it's the same thing in reverse, and you'll find both sides of the mechanism, only maybe you just haven't observed the other side, you think? Only it's here, it's around. You'll see this. All right. I'm sure there have been big revolutions on the track at one time or another when they took the ruling class and gave them everything they wanted in order to ruin them. Well, some other factor got involved in the situation in order to unbalance the ruling class. Because you give people enough havingness, and they don't deteriorate. Get the idea? So that was merely an unbalanced, aberrated look. I've heard of people go on obeying people in positions of authority just to show them. They hated them, so they went on obeying them. And this was so common during the Roman Empire that nobody in the ranks ever thought of doing otherwise to get even with an officer. And the whole philosophy of officer training was to make the legionnaire hate his officers. There was nothing ever done to do otherwise. They had to hate and fear their officers, their own immediate officers. And so you had all sorts of caprice. Now, this is why you find bad governments succeeding, which was a mystery I delved into for many years, tried to figure out why the dickens we had such success. Oh, it's success of longevity, tremendously greater on the part of a bad government than a good government. Good governments last short time, bad governments last long time. Why? Well, this overt withhold mechanism is your first cleanest view, you see? Your overt withhold mechanism, your first cleanest view. And the next thing we get is the fact that if they give the people everything that are ruling, you see, why, that'll get even with them. It gets down to that aberrated level. So you see, a tremendous number of the human race are in this. So if you just, it's pretty crazy. It's a real steep look, but you ought to look it over, because you'll see it coming apart in overt with whole straight wire. And you'll get some mighty goofy responses if you listen. They're mighty goofy. Now, what have you done to Joe? You see, the auditing command is recall something you have done to Joe. That is the exact auditing command. We have done an assessment. We have found out that that terminal, which is still real to the PC, which has, to a marked degree, overwhelmed him, is Joe. It's the entrance point. That's the exact definition of the terminal you're looking for. Is that person who is, in spite of all this, still more or less real to the PC, who has yet overwhelmed him in a contra-survival way. And that's the assessed terminal that we're looking for. Now we run, recall something you have done to that person, alternated with recall something you have withheld from that person, say, Joe. That's a particular case. All right. Now, this Joe is usually not very real to the person, gets realer, then becomes very unreal. And if you're running an HAS co-audit unit, and every time the co-audit instructor said, well, the terminal got very unreal to the PC, and so therefore we took the PC off of that particular terminal because it's gotten too unreal, will you just grit your teeth a little bit and say, well, you get that PC right back on that terminal, because it gets real again. Because what have they done? They've run out half of the not is. The not is. They couldn't not is the person. Then as they run overt with whole straight wire, they run into, head on, not isness. And this is the source of their unreality. All unreality stems from not isness. That's the entrance to all unreality, saying it isn't. They're hanging the fellow, and he says, well, I guess I'd be happier in another life anyway. He doesn't pay any attention to the fact they're hanging him, you see. Later on, he's living a life as a cleric, as a vicar, telling the people of Upper Goldersboro or Lower Hoboken or something, Lower Chicago, how they must all be good and come to the Lord and kill sheep. I think that's, isn't that, wasn't that part of it? Anyway, and he's telling them all this, and he begins to feel this rope around his neck, you know. Whole religious cults have been built out of ropes around the neck, you know, and so on. He'll get this translated on a substitution, you see, because he doesn't like this when he's not his at the time. You see, they were hanging him, you know, for sheep stealing. And so he thought as close as he could get to sheep stealing after that, of course, would be to pull in the flock and the fold and all that. And he finally gets to a substitution of the rope around the neck for a crown of thorns and nail holes in the wrists or something like this. And he sure gets to be a victim. See, because he not is something, he left it there. He didn't as is it, which is to say he didn't confront it. He didn't look it over and say, well, that's the way it is. You know, you could get hanged in that frame of mind, and it might not do you much good at the moment, but it certainly would never trouble you thereafter. Consent to anesthesia is probably the most fruitful source of operational engram damage. Anesthesia. Person didn't face the pain, didn't face any part of it, goes up the track a ways and says, uh-oh. Get the idea? Unconsciousness is totally not-isness, failing, not-is-a-self. Person tries to not-is-a, and failing, not-is-a-self. And that's unconsciousness, and that's all unconsciousness is. It's a tremendous effort to not-is, recoiling. Person can't not-is the existing bad circumstance. He turns around and not-is-is himself. And then you finally get a great many people not ising themselves. In fact, it's social custom. Social custom. Not is oneself today. You see, well, I don't amount to very much, and I'm awfully sorry there's such a poor effort, and so forth. You've just broken the world's record, you see, for the 100-meter, you know. And you say, well, there wasn't very much to it, and it's all due to my coach, and I didn't have anything to do with it. Body didn't have anything to do with it. And really wasn't anything to break. And it's all owing to my mother. And one day the silly guy can't run 100 feet. He much less break the world's record. So he starts not easing himself. This is known as good sportsmanship. Everybody approves of you committing suicide. They'll always give a 3 cheer for that, you see. It gives them a win. As a consequence, every once in a while, somebody walks up and tells the truth. Everybody's in a state of paralysis. You know, a big state of paralysis. Well, I was just always been a good runner, I guess, he says. TV cameras click off and the press shuts off and everybody walks away in great embarrassment. Well, here we have your general case entrance. And now listen to me. Overt with whole straight wire. Overt with whole straight wire. It's too good to even be compared in the same breath with ARC break straight wire, not is straight wire, or any of the other contemporary developments of its original sequence. It works too broadly. It works too well, its effects are too reaching, and it moves itself straight out of the class of the processes it was released with. That's what time has proven. And if it came to a choice of whether or not a person could have 500 hours of ARC break straight wire and another 500 hours of not is straight wire and so forth, or 50 hours of overt withhold straight wire, he should take the 50 hours of overt withhold. He'll make a greater case game. It's direct road to OT, and none of the others are. It fulfills all conditions. Fulfills them all. Gives you a first postulate process followed by a second postulate process. So you don't even put the second postulate on automatic to run off automatically. You let the PC take over control of the withhold. After he's communicated, well, you let him get a non-communicate. And the odd part of it is the communicate process is strong enough to keep the second postulate process from cutting the case back. You put the both of them under the PC's control. Not that it's vitally necessary to do so, but it certainly works. It would work if you simply said, what have you done to, what have you done to? You see, recall something you've done to Joe. Recall something you've done to Joe. Good. Recall something you've done to Joe. Good. Recall something you've done to Joe. But you'd have a slower go of it. You'd get the various energy mechanisms of the PC giving you a bad time. And those various energy mechanisms would give you a consistent and continual upset. His vision would turn on, and his vision would turn off, and his vision would do this and that, and he'd feel caved in, and he'd have to wrestle with the horrors of conscience and so forth, and the sins of omission and commission. And while he's doing all this, he's just sitting there calm-lagging, so he might as well run the whole case and just run it on the steep line of recall something you've done to Joe, recall something you withheld from Joe. Now, the case which is worst off, when you pick the right terminal, will occasionally pull this gag. Here's some of the manifestations of running this particular process. This is why this is an HAS co-audit process. Because it's just too good, you see. It works. It's that process we've been looking for years and years and years, which gives the vast majority of cases, and I think it's practically a clean sweep. There's always the outstanding case. People think they're auditing a PC and the fellow's being a tree or something. But it's sweeping success. Gives us a lot of attention to it now. We've had months and months and months and months and months and months of experience with this process on tremendous, tremendous numbers of people. And what I don't know about this process by this time, as a matter of fact, what I know about it, I actually haven't given very many people much gin about until just this minute. And that is, the person who has done tremendously horrible, wicked, vicious, terrible things to people cuts in on this. What have you done to Joe? You know, recall something you've done to Joe. And you'll say, well, I don't know. I gave him five bob once. And I blessed him once. And you get out your violin about that time, you say, da, 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 da. Because, brother, what's coming after this shouldn't be heard by a nice, moral member of the church. That's a funny thing. Funny thing. It'll start in on a mockery of the good band. Now, don't you begin to believe that all goodness is badness simply because there is a mockery band of saintliness and goodness. There isn't anything decent a Thetan ever does. There isn't any ability a Thetan ever has that doesn't have a mockery level. And that mockery level is held up by somebody as a criticism. And so we get the hearts and flowers on the violin on Joe for some time. He calls something you withheld from Joe, and he says, oh, well, I saw that he was getting ill, so I put a blanket around his shoulders. And you say, withheld something from him? Again? No, the person said, well, I withheld the germs from him. Well, watch it, because that case is going to run eventually through a rough strata. What have you done to Joe? Well, there was the time I stood on his stomach with my heel in his belly and turned and turned and turned. Now, you see, here is a person who is incapable of observing his own vicious acts. Now, there's nothing wrong with this beyond the fact that he is incapable of observation and therefore to a marked degree of participation. And there are people who have done this and people who are chronically this way who have still managed to be a benefit to the human race, which is utterly incredible. But you start running them on something like this and you'll find out they've been a benefit to the human race in spite of, not because of, these foibles. Now, you'll get some schoolmaster or something of the sort, and boy, is he utterly insane on the subject of cursing. Oh, he just detests people who curse. There's just nothing that you could do, you know, that would be worse than cursing and blasphemy and things like that. And damn it, he'd just kill somebody that would utter a bunch of nasty words. He just ought to shoot the S of a B, you know? And you look at this with incredulity. Here is this man being upset about cursing and cursing like mad at the same time. In fact, this is, to some degree, one of the major... Well, this is one of the major facets of Dickens's humor. You'll find instances of this all through literature, where they wanted to make a very ridiculous character, an hypocritical character, so they had him doing the same thing that he was condemning. And that's what people do all the time. And boy, does it baffle us. They get stuck on this one overt withhold fact, you see. And they are dramatizing it and condemning it at the same time. And it's quite baffling to people who don't know what they are doing. But actually, the person himself isn't doing anything, really, beyond being irresponsible for these engrams and dramatizations, irresponsible for his own conduct. He's just letting the bank run. And if you let the bank run totally, flat out, that is more or less what it would do. Lie there, asleep, and being very critical of people being asleep. You know? The overt withhold would be jammed straight together. And what have you got? We've got in this, then, the prime identification in the bank. Prime identification that an outflowing act is an inflowing act. That's the prime mishmash. And from that, mistakes in identity, mistakes in location, and so on, pursue very easily, I assure you. The individual didn't know whether he shot while he was being shot, and so forth. He doesn't know anything about it. As a matter of fact, when he first starts in, he couldn't even define from his own subjective reality what a real overt act was. He couldn't even define what withholdingness is. He's got all these things explained. They're all beautifully explained. The whole thing is rationalized and so forth, except it doesn't make sense. And this is the point of human behavior that no philosopher has ever been able to plumb. This is why man is so contradictory. And philosophers talking about this and so forth are normally and mainly talking about just this one point. Why is man so contradictory? Why, when he outflows, is he inflowing, you know? Why is it going two ways at once? Why is he so identified? Why is he so crazy? And so on. Well, you start to take this apart in a PC, and the PC gets more and more alert. And first, he just chews at it, and the terminal gets more real, and then starts to dim out, and then gets more real again, the one he's running, you see? He's running out not isness. He's running out that attitude which has prevented him from observing the actuality of anything. Directly, that's what he's running out. He's running out his not-isness. And when that starts disappearing, and the isness of things starts appearing, he has what we call cognitions. And this is the one process that will invariably produce cognitions. Now, we had cognitions almost on automatic in processing before. We were very happy when people got them. We were in despair when we ran a PC that never said, "Well, what do you know?" Person never looked at anything. Well, it meant, retranslated into the mechanics of auditing, that he was never, at any time, confronting more than before. He was not getting any smarter. He himself was not getting any better, because his not-isness factor remained the same. So unless you disturb this not-isness factor, you're never going to get him to see. He's not going to be able to be aware. And unless he can be aware, he cannot be responsible. He can't be responsible for things he doesn't know exist. And so the thorn in the bank is not-isness. And the mechanics of not-isness are the mechanics of overt acts. Why? Because the individual cannot confront, in many instances, what he has done. So he not isses it. Now, it's very interesting that the preclear's first feeling is that it's just mishmash. You know, it makes no sense. The next feeling is that if he does... Now, this is an interim state, and you must recognize this state because it is very dangerous to Scientology. he gets up to a point where he believes that doingness is the real source of all of his difficulty. Got that? See, he thinks that it's because he did things that he's in trouble. And he goes into inaction. An upper level gain of this is actually an inaction, a sort of a laziness, a no communicatingness, and so on. He's just coming up through the mist. And it's a very bad way stop. And you won't find any cases that don't pass this up. They pass that point. And if you just processed a person up to a point where he believed utterly that anybody who did anything was doing himself in, and that doing himself in was just doing, and that any doing did him in, he's got that all figured out. He's no good to anybody. As a matter of fact, he's less good than he was before when he was operating on an obsessive doingness. Got the idea? He was at least a little bit in motion, even if it was erratic. And there's a point there where he more or less meets up with that cognition. As he begins to understand things, he more or less meets up with that one. He says, well, I know what's the trouble with my life. I have been doing things to people. Well, it may take him a long time to come up high enough. It may take him a long time to come up high enough through that mess. A long time in terms of over with whole straight wire, however, is something maybe 50, 75 hours. That's a long time. To come up through this mishmash and find out he was just sitting in an undeserved overt. And that he is restraining himself from doing anything and doing everything because he might do something to people who didn't deserve it. And the button on the case is he did something to somebody who didn't deserve it. And that is the hang-up. Because what did he do at that time? He tried to wipe it out. And he didn't as is it because he was guilty of it. He recognized his own guilt. He is withholding already. So he doesn't look at what he did. He tries to not is what he did. And that is the exact point where not-isness enters in. A person does something that the target did not deserve. He moved into this situation. This fellow was standing there. The fellow had a gun in his hand. And looked very dangerous and so forth. So our hero shot him. To find out it was a toy pistol and that his victim had three small children who had no other parent and who was primarily the fellow who had saved the hero's life 2 or 3 weeks before and he hadn't known about it. And we get this all tangled up and obviously this overt act should not have happened and he pulls back the overt act. But he doesn't as is it. He gets too rattled. He sees it doesn't disappear. The individual continues to lie there dead. So he not is it, and he says it didn't happen. And one of the weirdest things you'll find, and this is a consistent phenomenon, a PC who has an overt target, you see, a target he's done overt acts to, even though he doesn't know about it yet, will experience the disappearance of the target from the view. The target will disappear out of the picture. There'll be grandfather in his chair. You get the idea? And grandfather was sitting there in his chair and everything was just fine, you see, and he was running things he'd done to grandfather or some border to it, maybe things he'd done to grandmother, and he keeps getting a picture of grandfather or something like that. You want to be very leery of that sort of thing when it happens. You've probably got the wrong button, the wrong target, you see. And he keeps talking about things he did, you know, grandfather withheld from grandfather, and all of a sudden grandfather goes, whew. He has an empty chair. The chair is empty. The person disappeared out of the scene. Well, now, the funny part of it is that person isn't gone at all. not even gone out of the picture. It's not even mocked up that way. The person is still mocked up in the picture, in the mental image picture. The person is still mocked up in the picture, but is shot through with an action of invisibility. And as it's run a little bit further, the invisibility comes off and the person reappears. If you don't run it to the time the person reappears, you've left the fellow hung up in not hisness. You get the gimmick? Well, that's what it is, and that's what not-isness is. He's not-is things and not-is things. Pretty soon he gets pretty frantic and he starts not-ising the furniture. And he not-ises the house. And some fellow can get so loony that he walks down the street and sees no houses. Why? Because a house once housed a person that he did something to who didn't deserve it. Now, you say at once, well, how about processes like, think of something that somebody didn't deserve. Go ahead and think of them. They've all been researched. By the ton. The only thing that undoes it is to put the person through it. And you can give them all the shortcuts you want to in the world. You can tell them all about it. Then one day he will realize that never at all in this life, from its beginning until now, has he ever seen a dog. He'll say, what? But that's true. When you hit a button like this on a fifth dynamic button, he'll realize that he's been vaguely aware of dogs and dogs have run around him. He has a definite memory that there must have been dogs. But doggone if he could see a dog. Now, this shows up on a simple test. You could take pictures representative of each and every type of terminal you could think of on the dynamics and give this picture test to somebody and have him simply identify these various pictures. You see, it'd be anything and everything representative of the various dynamics, you see. Maybe a big stack of pictures. Maybe many on one plate. He will only omit or make mistakes on those things which he chronically not ises. Now, he might be getting an obsessive picture of them. In other words, his not-isness has failed. And so we get the earliest observation on cases. The trick case was the wide-open case. The exact mechanism of the wide-open case is this. The individual has not-is, 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 until he can't not-is any longer. Not-isness is no satisfactory mechanism anymore. And then the things appear in some distorted form. And so he has pictures, 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 pictures. None of them have anything to do with reality at all. They're all totally unreal. You change those pictures around, no matter how brightly colored they are. They weren't the real pictures, and you don't get any case gains of any kind whatsoever. You could just audit pictures, 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 and nothing's going to happen to the case. Because those pictures are substitutes for the not-isness. You see, and you're auditing substitutes, you're not auditing what happened. And he's very happy to sit there and audit substitutes because doggone if he's going to face the actual terminal. We'll over it with whole straight wire, saws right straight through that mechanism like mad and produces a direct R result, a direct reality result. And we get the reality scale, which roughly goes from the top of experience to confront to invisibility to black to substitute, altering directly under overt with whole straight wire. You're knocking out the not-isness out of the thing, and it's more you knock out, why the higher he goes on the scale. And he moves right straight up through the invisibility and total unreality. You were auditing dogs, and he says, dog? Dog? I've been sitting here for the last couple of minutes, you know, I can't think of a dog. I can't think of a dog. You say dog, dog. It's D-O-G, dog. D-O-G, dog, 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 dog. I don't know. What's a dog? Don't tell me. Dog, dog, dog. He's just going through the invisibility band, you see, and the thing's disappearing fast he put it there. Now, to drop him at that time is to leave him totally aware of the fact he's got totally no dogs. Which is a rather cruel point to drop a case. He's better off for knowing he has no dogs. Up to that time, he fell over them and broke his neck and let them sleep in bed with him and pass the time away, beat them with a club while feeding them candy, and you know, pretty wild. All right. Now, naturally, overt withhold straight wire depends tremendously upon the one factor of assessment. And there are two types of assessment, and each of them, oddly enough, have names as straight wire, but they are only assessments, and it's overt withhold straight wire all over again. And with those two assessments are no to mystery straight wire and dynamic straight wire. And it's just ways of uncovering a terminal on which to run overt withhold straight wire. They actually are misnamed, but because they were originally processes in their own right, there is no particular point in shifting them around, because you'll wind up running overt withhold on the terminals located in dynamic straight wire and your no-to-mystery straight wire. No-to-mystery straight wire might be, at a glance, rather new to you, but no-to-mystery straight wire is no more than just this. You take the whole no-to-mystery scale and ask the person for a terminal that represents that particular band of the scale, you see. You ask him for a terminal that represents mystery. You know, ask him for a terminal that represents eating. Now, that's a very undercut way of assessing. Similarly, you go up to dynamics, asking the person for various terminals that represent various dynamics. And you can pick out of the mishmash, overt, withhold, backwards, forwards, upside, down views of the person. In spite of him, you can actually pick out terminals that have a tremendous punch to them when run and do change the case. If you get the right terminal with overt withhold straight wire, you do wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully well. And if you get a terminal that's way off from it, you will do slowly, slowly, slowly well. And if you get a terminal that's mediumly good, you know, mediumly right, you know, not really, and so on and on, why, the PC will still be very satisfied. He'll make gains that satisfy him. He practically blow his case apart when you hit the button on the case that you should have been running all the time. Many mechanisms how you get that button, but that is under the heading of assessment rather than the heading of processes. But here is a process which has walked out of all the years of research, has turned out to be a relatively simple process, has turned out to be very constant, has turned out to be very beneficial. And it is this process which gives a person fast reality on themselves and life, and therefore Scientology, when all other things failed. Therefore, you're going to see this process around for a very, very long time. Thank you.